Welcome to the Essentials of Entrepreneurship and Regional Development podcast. Each publication in our journal is a great opportunity to share significant and audacious contributions to large teams. My guest today is Kristina Lubinski from Copenhagen Business School. She recently published an article entitled Entrepreneurialism: Conceptual Exploration of an Ideology. She co-authored this paper with Anna Knox Tucker. It has been published in Entrepreneurship and Regional Development, a journal edited by Taylor and Francis. Kristina, welcome to our podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Vincent.
Can you tell us, what is the origin of your paper? Why have you decided to address this particular topic? And what is the question you aim to answer?
Always an interesting story, right? The backstory of all these papers that we write. So the origin of this paper was in a research project that Hannah Knox Tucker and I are both involved in. It's called Rethinking Entrepreneurship in Society, and is funded by the Carlsberg Foundation. And the idea that we had at the beginning was to take a step back and kind of reflect a little bit on how entrepreneurial thinking is shaping our world today. So we saw that entrepreneurship is used not just for I'm starting a new company or I have an idea, but also the way people act, the way people organize, and the way people judge what they count as valuable. And we thought that was interesting because it really popped up everywhere. So you can find entrepreneurial politicians and entrepreneurial public administrators and entrepreneurial kindergartens, right? So it really is quite widespread. And so it wasn't a business thing anymore. And most of the literature was just waving it away and saying, oh, that's neoliberalism at play. And we don't necessarily disagree with that, but we're also not satisfied with it, because if entrepreneurialism is actually an ideology in its own right, with its own logic and its own history, then we can potentially understand it better if we're also analyzing it that way. And then the political moment made all these questions even sharper. So if you think about Silicon Valley leaders that a decade ago were seen as progressive and almost utopian, and now they're very political, they're kind of treating politics as a startup marketplace. There's disruption and risk-taking, glorification all over the place. And so we were kind of curious to understand how entrepreneurism works as a political imagination and how it reshapes governance, policy, and potentially even democracy. So this was a big motivation for us and also made the project feel really urgent right now.
What are the contributions of this paper?
Yeah, a couple of contributions. So the first one was we wanted to define entrepreneurialism. And so we came up with a definition. Let me get this right. But like we said, entrepreneurialism is an ideology that extends entrepreneurial logic into social life, directing aspirations and actions towards the relentless pursuit of entrepreneurial ideas. And this idea of relentlessness, constantly pushing, was really important to us in that definition. And then we thought, okay, how could we do research on a topic like this, which is kind of going away from mainstream entrepreneurship research a little bit? And we were kind of playing around with different ideas, and we both had worked on nationalism before. So we said, like, it's interesting how many similarities there are between the ideology of nationalism, kind of you have the nation and then nationalism as its ideology, and the ideology of entrepreneurialism. So we think there's entrepreneurship, starting new businesses, but there's also an ideology of entrepreneurship that we then call entrepreneurialism. And there's some interesting linguistic work around how we use isms to turn things into narratives, discourses, ideologies. And so we thought if we take some inspiration from nationalism research, maybe we can come up with some new ideas. And in the paper, we outline four of those. So we say entrepreneurialism would be really interesting to study as an imagined community, asking how sharing symbols and ideals creates belonging, even when people have never met each other. And if you teach entrepreneurship students, it's really interesting how similar they are, no matter where they come from. So Americans, Asians, Europeans, they all have kind of similar ideals of entrepreneurship. Then we thought it was important to put this ideology in a more of a historical context, so understanding why it rises, in what particular political or economic moments that happened, rather than treating it as sort of timeless and universal. Then we thought it would be interesting to think about the invented traditions of entrepreneurship. So how do myths and selective histories of entrepreneurship help us legitimize this ideal? And there's a lot more work to be done there to understand why it has become such a strong and very legitimate way of thinking about the world. And finally, what I mentioned before, the political imagination that comes with it. So how does it frame what counts as legitimate and which futures are seen as possible or desirable? So those were kind of the four big directions that we wanted to sketch out. And of course, we are hoping that people pick that up and do more empirical work on one of those.
What was for you the main theoretical or methodological challenge or challenges in addressing such a question?
So many. So the big theoretical challenge for us was to decouple entrepreneurialism from neoliberalism without pretending that they're not connected, right? So, but we thought that if you explain one ideology with another, you kind of collapse them into each other and you don't really understand how they work. So we wanted to instead historicize entrepreneurialism and understand its own internal logic and then build a definition that does justice to how fluid and pervasive it really is. And if you put it into the box of neoliberalism, then you don't really get a chance to do that because then you've already pretty clearly defined it. On the methodological side, the challenge was almost the opposite because we had to pull together so many different scholars and so many different lines of thinking from anthropology, from history, from political theory, from management, of course, and then somehow weave them into something coherent. So that was a really big challenge and took a lot of co-author discussions and debates also with the research group and the team. And so finding the right balance between precise enough, but also broad enough to capture how entrepreneurism spreads across these different domains, that was really quite challenging.
During your research journey, what was your biggest surprise?
One thing that really surprised us was that entrepreneurialism, which usually is framed as hyper-individualistic, so we always talk about the lone risk taker and the heroic entrepreneur, but actually when you look into it in this different frame, it works very much as a collective script. So it organizes shared norms, the institutions that we find legitimate, and it also creates a sense of belonging. And so in that sense, it reminded us a lot of some of the other ideologies that have become so pervasive. And we thought it was interesting, this kind of conflict between us celebrating the lone entrepreneur, but at the same time, sort of buying into a very collective script. The other thing that was a little counterintuitive was what we call the paradox of entrepreneurialism. So on the one hand, it mobilizes people through the promise of endless self-realization. You can always become more innovative, more resilient, you can have more hustle, you can be more entrepreneurial. But because that ideal is so unattainable, it also generates a cycle of self-doubt and anxiety. And so instead of being liberating and emancipating, it can become a real source of pressure. And I also, like now I'm in the United States this semester, I see that where there's such a strong emphasis on well-being and mental health in the entrepreneurship community. And I think that's partly because of this cycle of anxiety that people are dealing with.
What are the main implications of your work for entrepreneurs, policymakers, managers, practitioners in general?
Oh, small question. For entrepreneurs, I think the implication is to recognize that entrepreneurialism isn't just about creating opportunities or pursuing them, but it's also about how society values what you do. So what are your kind of, you know, reflections that you get from the people around you and from the broader society? And how are they thinking about resilience, disruption, and so on and so forth? And that means that entrepreneurs can end up kind of internalizing that ideological expectation. So when things don't work out, it feels like a personal failure rather than a systemic issue or something that is kind of baked into the business model in some ways. So I think that's for entrepreneurs that can be helpful to sort of understand how they fall into that kind of landscape. For managers, I think we want to say entrepreneurship can absolutely drive innovation and that is super good, but it also fuels the pressure of constant reinvention. And it often comes with short-termism, with volatility, with worker precarity. And these are real managerial issues, right? So the challenge for managers, I think, is to strike a balance. How do you keep the entrepreneurial spark alive, but also build some stability and maintenance into your organization so that you're not constantly reinventing things that are actually already working quite well for you? And in some ways, we have been celebrating the disruption and reinvention so much that we maybe lost some of the values of maintaining things and keeping something stable as well. And then for practitioners and policymakers, I think it's super important that we talk about entrepreneurialism because it has become so, so pervasive in governance and public discourse, also in education. And it could potentially close some doors to other topics that just simply don't fit into that frame. So for example, we don't talk as much anymore about civic responsibility or collective action. And I think bringing some of these topics to the forefront again requires us to have a bit of a critical reflection on entrepreneurialism. And again, I'm pointing to the current political moment because I think we see entrepreneurs getting extremely involved in geopolitics, in shifting their alliances towards different types of political agendas, bleeding the idea of entrepreneurship into politics. And that has a really profound effect on governance and democratic norms. And it shows just how powerful and how consequential this ideology has become. And so that, I think, for that reason alone, academics should be more interested in looking into it and understanding better how it works.
Thanks a lot, Christina, for participating to our show and presenting your paper entitled Entrepreneurialism, Conceptual Exploration of an Ideology. All our podcasts are available on entrepreneurship-ed.com and on the main podcast platforms.
All good.
All good.
Sorry, was I too fast?
No, it was perfect.